Now, you tell us now about you, about your education, where you went to school, and your friends when you were young in Maine. We like that. Don't remember me. You'll remember. My husband was confirmed by Rabbi Levi. How old are you?
Seven.
Well, I remember Al, of course.
You remember Al. It was Rabbi Levi's last friend.
Well, and I was.
Yeah.
Are we all sitting here?
Where did you go to school when you were little? Elementary school, Al.
That might be of some interest. But, my mother and father, I guess, had unusual ideas about education. And so we had what I suppose you would classify as a child's nurse on Center Avenue. And among my father and mother and the nurse, they taught me reading, writing, and arithmetic. Up until the time I was eight, I didn't go to school until I was eight, actually, and then I entered in the third grade, which is an odd type of situation. And maybe that's the reason I read better than most of the children. But in any event, I then went to Osceola School, which is in the, if you know where that is.
No, I don't.
It was near Baum Boulevard and Liberty Avenue. Still
there. Is
that
a private school?
No. Pittsburgh Public School.
Oh, I don't know that.
Osceola School, and then when we moved to Squirrel Hill in 1914, I went to Linden, and I graduated from Linden Elementary School, and then I went to Shenley High School, which in those days I might say was a superb school, absolutely superb school, with marvelous teachers.
Do you remember any of the teachers?
I surely do.
Their names?
Yes, I do. I was in Miss Townley's report room, which incidentally, it was arranged for me by Alice Grafner and Marion Arnfeld, because that seemed to be a desirable report room. And Miss Townley later on taught at, I believe, Chatham. But she was a good teacher, and also she taught mathematics. And I had the really outstanding learning experience with the physics department of Shenley High School. I had a It just had to be one of the outstanding teachers of the era by the name of Professor P.M. Dysart, D-Y-S-A-R-T, who knew exactly how to encourage young people. We were allowed to use the laboratory after school, and we did so. And when I went to Cornell later, I found that I actually didn't catch up with the physics course that I had in high school until my third year at Cornell.
It was a super course.
We had almost the same kind of instruction in chemistry and Latin and French. And it's really amazing when I hear about the problems in high schools around the city now. But it was a superlative school, and I was too young when I got through, because I was, I guess, 15 or just barely. Maybe just barely 16 when I got through Shenley High School, and my parents thought I was too young to go away to school, so I stayed in Shenley and took a few extra courses afterwards, and then I went to Cornell in the fall of that same year.
You were very young, though.
Yeah, I graduated from college when I was 20, and
that was perhaps due to your early
I think
tutoring.
It was. Although nowadays they don't do that, you know, they skip people in those days, and now they don't think that's a great idea, and I don't think it is either, but they did it.
Did you feel very young when you were in college compared to the other students?
No, I didn't.
What did you do, like, in your high school days for fun in Pittsburgh, for recreation? Do you remember?
Well, like everyone else does, I suppose.
No, everyone's different. Did you go to parties that perhaps?
Oh, yes. Well, we had a large group of friends. And
who would you like to name?
I would name particularly Donald Steinfurst, with whom I grew up. We were friendly from the time, well, we were young, very, very young, and we remained friendly till the time of his death. Intimate friends. I was particularly friendly with Charles Dreyfus. That name means
yes, it does.
We were friendly, very friendly, and as a matter of fact, that's how I met Ruth, Mr. Charles. But we had a large group, and in those days, as I'm sure you know, it was quite different. It was a very closely knit, integrated in a different sense, group.
What did you do for fun, Mike? Did you go to party? Did you go to the dancing school at Rudolph Sholem?
Yes.
So many of the children
I went to
did.
The dancing school at Rudolph Sholem. I was bored to distraction with it. I couldn't wait to... That was a punishment.
Well, that wasn't fun.
That was a real punishment. But we all went.
Yes.
And the swimming pool.
Yes. And what else did you have?
But that was, yes, that
did
was
you have
very,
parties at homes a lot?
Yes, we had parties at homes. We had parties at the old Westmoreland Country Club. We had parties at, you know, like everybody has what everybody does when they're young. Oddly enough, I suppose, I was terribly interested in sports when I was young, not as an onlooker, but as a participant. Anything that had to do with athletics, I always enjoyed.
What kind of sports? Like?
We all, since on Denniston Avenue, there was no traffic, the whole neighborhood, aside from the social group, the whole neighborhood played together, and we had, obviously had, neighborhood ball game, baseball games, and hockey games, and we had impromptu track meets.
You used the street, probably.
We used the street, but there was a vacant lot at the corner of Beechwood Boulevard and Aylesboro, where we had a ball field, and then later on we moved down to Wilkins and Beechwood. And as a matter of fact, I played ball there with people like Harold Block and Ivan Half and Charles Bear and all those people up until the time I was in college, I suppose, or after that. Incidentally, there was a great big lake or pond, which was called Bruce's Pond, which ran between Wilkins Avenue and Hastings Street, bounded by Wilkins, Hastings, Denniston, and Beechwood Boulevard, and there was a big pond there with an ice house. And it was used for getting ice, and that was before Wilkins Avenue was cut through. And that was during my growing up period.
Did you ice skate?
We used to ice skate there. We used to ice skate in Homewood Cemetery also.
Is there a pond there?
It sure was. Now, Ruth used to ice skate there, too, by the way.
That's very
and, interesting. And Duquesne Gardens, of course. I was an enthusiastic ice skater. I guess I can still ice skate. And used to sled ride. Since there was no traffic, we would start at Beechwood Boulevard at Wilkins and sled ride all the way down to Fifth Avenue, and there was nothing to bother us in any way.
That was
a lot of fun. So when I say sports, I didn't mean we went to baseball games or Super Bowls. Or
those were the great things. Sports then.
We all participated. There were various tennis courts around the area, too. Play tennis. There were a lot of private courts around there. We're just a normal growing up. I was always interested in music. Sooner or later we'll get into that.
Yes, we will. But you began when you were young.
Yes. I took lessons from Lenore Morgenstern. I still have her music.
Piano lessons.
She was Lenore Krohn. I took piano lessons from when I was probably 6 or 8, and I made the dreadful mistake of giving it up with her, at least when I was about 12. I was more interested in these sports that I'm telling about.
Yes.
And okay.
You are now...
You said you wanted to have my mother and father's name. Well, my father was Dr. Joseph M. Jackson, and my mother was Stella Hexter Jackson. And you were asking me something else?
I was absorbed by your recreation You mentioned, I think, more boys than girls, which would go with sports. There were girls in your group who did all these things and you, well, dances?
Yes, of course.
They did.
You want names?
Yes, we love names.
Well, we had quite a large social group.
We like
some
names.
Many of whom are dead, as is always the case for the girls who are still alive. Dorothy Block was certainly in our group.
She was Dorothy.
She was Dorothy Freelander. And many people who moved out of town, but obviously Ruth Jackson, Ruth Hollander was in our group.
Whom you later married.
Whom I later married.
I can name some, but I don't know if they're the right one.
Catherine DeRoy, who is no longer alive, was married to Norman DeRoy. I let me say, even on the tape, that I'm a bad one for reminiscing. I'm philosophically opposed to it.
Living in the past.
Yes, I think people of our age have a tendency to do that, and I don't like to do it, and I never do it. And in order to get the information that I have now, I really had to dig into my files to get it, except for the things I remember myself. So I just don't remember.
You remember very well.
All right.
Obviously you had, if you were ill, did your father take care of you, the children, or did he call another doctor? It happens sometimes. We like to know about health care in those days.
Well, when we were ill, I might say we were rarely ill as children, but when we were ill, my father, seriously ill, my father called in other doctors. In fact, my sister had some sort of bronchial problem, and my father was a very good friend professionally and socially of Dr. Chevalier Jackson, who was the inventor of the bronchoscope. And my sister, I think, was the youngest child that he ever used the bronchoscope on. He had to do a tracheotomy in the neck. And he was in Philadelphia, but he was not in Philadelphia then. He was in Pittsburgh. He lived in Pittsburgh, and in fact, there was some discussion between my father and Chevalier Jackson of buying his practice when Chevalier Jackson moved to Philadelphia, but my father decided against it. But he operated on my sister, and we had Dr. Barrick, Edna Barrick's husband, and as our family doctor, and a Dr. Eaton. I don't remember anything except the name. So we obviously had other doctors come to the house on Center Avenue when we had something, which was not very often. But as speaking of health care, it was quite primitive, I suppose. And whenever we had any contagious disease, my mother would hang sheets saturated with Lysol or something or other over the doors to the room, and we were all isolated. And apparently worked pretty well, because we didn't often catch it from the other child. Are you at the end of the tape?